You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ormille. On today's show, we'll talk about if the Heat can take advantage of the Rockets blowing things up, make some predictions about the NBA Finals, but let's start with this story from the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson, who is reporting that the Heat are continuing their efforts to deal some of its longer-term contracts like James Johnson and Deion Waiters, and adds that expiring contracts like Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside could become trade chips if and when they decide to opt into the final year of their deal. David, nothing necessarily surprising here, but I do think the idea that Dragic and Whiteside could actually become trade chips, where we've been talking about them, especially Whiteside, as a liability on that kind of contract, right? The idea that they could become trade chips if and when they opt in, and we do expect them to opt in, despite some recent scuttle that they may opt out on Twitter, and I don't believe any of that scuttle, but here's the interesting thing with this, David, is that both Dragic and Whiteside have until June 29th to decide whether or not they're going to opt in. The draft is June 20th, and that's when a lot of these trades can get done, but the Heat are going to be kind of they're going to be kind of shackled with these decisions until at least the 29th, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, unless there is already, and I'm sure there is, there's already discussion on the front office side trying to reach out to Goran and Hassan's agents, respective agents, and kind of see if maybe they have some kind of indication as to whether or not to opt in. Maybe can kind of force their hand a little bit. And look, the trades don't happen immediately. As much as we find out about them right away via the ticker tape or, you know, a Woj bomb being dropped, these discussions take some time. They've already been in the works, and I'm sure that there's already been contact between the two different groups with Miami's front office to kind of give them an indication of what's happening and if there is a potential trade in the works. Like if there is a nearing a deal for, let's say, Mike Conley or maybe somebody else, you know, a bigger name out of Houston perhaps, then I'm sure these, you know, players have already been informed and their agents, more importantly, have already been informed that the front office would like them to opt in so that they could be included as part of a trade package, et cetera. So it's you know, with they have to make these, well, they don't have to, they want to make these deals with the player or at least their agent's kind of approval, knowing that they have to, you know, they have to opt in. So there's a synergy there in that they understand that this is what's likely to happen. So,
well, I think the that's all true. I think the hang up here with the timing is the Heat have been rumored to possibly be willing to offer the 13th pick for Mike Conley, right? And this is kind of where you would probably need a Dragic to go back to Memphis so that they have that placeholder point guard for a year, even if they draft Ja Morant. Or maybe you put Whiteside in that deal because his contract is so close to Conley's that it makes the salaries work. Now, there's other ways to get that deal done without Dragic or Whiteside, but it would be nice to be able to use one of those guys, especially if a deal hinges on one of them being involved. Maybe Memphis likes Whiteside next to Jaren Jackson Jr. Maybe Memphis likes to have a veteran point guard presence to kind of show Ja Morant the ropes for one season, right? But that would also involve moving that 13th pick. And if you're the Heat, do you select whoever you have to select at 13 that maybe Memphis wants? Or do you select that player at 13 that you want if you're not certain whether or not Dragic or Whiteside have opted in yet, right? or are planning to do so? Like that's kind of the complicated thing there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't recall off the top of my head. Maybe I'm dead wrong here. I normally these trades happen the day of the draft. I can't recall like a week or over a week long period where, in this case, 9 days, where they say, you know what, we don't have any intention of trading you, we're going to draft said player, and then they wind up trading them to another team. Like, normally these things are worked out well in advance. That's why my feeling is, you know, if there's already discussions on a deal, and I'm sure that there probably have been, at least preliminary ones, whether they've, you know, come to fruition or not is a whole other issue. But let's say from Memphis's perspective, if they say, yes, any deal for Conley has to include Goran.
Right.
Then that's when it's up to the Heat to kind of reach out to their representation and say, look, we need a clear answer.
Okay, so if you're Goran Dragic, then, do you say, or Whiteside, Do you say, if the Heat come to you and say, hey, we need you to opt in before the draft so that we know what we're dealing with here? Because the Heat could also agree to this deal, so, like having an understanding from Dragic, say, okay, no, don't worry, we'll opt in after the draft. You go ahead and get this deal done. And then Dragic would be like, you know what? Decide I want to go opt out. So, and it could screw up everything. And now the Heat are stuck with a player that they didn't want at 13, but the player that Memphis wanted at 13, right? But if you're Goran Dragic, are you inclined at all to work with the front office? Or do you, if they come to you, do you and say, hey, we might want to use you as a trade chip just to put all of our cards on the table here, but we need you to opt in before draft night because that's when these things are going to materialize. If you're Dragic, you say, that sounds great. I'll give you my decision right now. I'm opting out because I want to decide where I want to play, not you. Or, you know, because the other side... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you risk losing a whole heck of a lot of money. I mean, Memphis could be an exciting option for Goran towards the tail end of his career. You know, he'll get significant playing time. I mean, they're not making a playoff push. That's fine. I mean, but the opportunity to mentor a younger player in Morant, I mean, that could be a good opportunity for him to showcase. And he could be, if he does opt in, he could still be traded at the trade deadline. And Memphis might give him a wink-wink deal saying, look, you're here for 5 months, basically, during the off season, and then during the start of training camp, et cetera, to kind of provide some mentorship role. But come, you know, mid-February, there's a good chance that we'll trade you to a contender or we'll buy you out so that you can sign with a contender.
Yeah, and a guy like Dragic is going to play anywhere. Like, he's not going to be the starting point guard anywhere, but he's going to get minutes anywhere. Whiteside on the other... And so I agree. If you're Dragic, you're like, all right, I'll take the $19 million. I'll play wherever and for a year and then figure out where I want to go. But if you're Whiteside... $27 million is a lot of money, but he might not play anywhere. Like, he might, if he goes to a certain team, he might not get a whole lot of minutes. Like, he'll get minutes. He'll play a little bit, but he's not going to be a starter. We know that he wants to be a starter. I do wonder if you're Whiteside, if you just say, again, at the end of the day, like, you're not going to bypass $27 million, but there is something to be said for, well, if you're going to trade me, I'd rather just opt out so I can go find a place where I'm going to play. But at the end of the day, he's not giving up $27 million.
No, I know. That's why it behooves him to opt in, too, because the reality is that he's not going to get paid anywhere. And I mean, we're making it seem like it's a foregone conclusion that he'll get playing time. I don't think that's the case. I mean, you're getting an older center with a limited game who can have a somewhat of an impact if you're using him properly. And how many other teams are going to try to, you know, change on the fly to accommodate Whiteside and maximize what he can do? Not many, if any. And so, to be honest with you, he's probably just going to languish on the bench, and if he gets bought out, there's a good chance he might not play. And I can't see him signing with another team for more than minimum veteran, to be honest with you. Like, he got his payday. It's significant. I don't know what kind of deals are out there for him. Like, let's look at the DeAndre Jordan situation. Yep. Like, he was traded to New York. He didn't play there, and he was like, no, I'm going to opt in. Why? Because it was the same decision that was facing him. He's like, where is he going to go that he could potentially be an impact player?
He's not getting $27 million anywhere. He's not getting anything near it. So, yeah, take the money. If you have another year, if there's a year where you're playing somewhere you don't want to, I think $27 million will ease the pain a little bit at the end of the day. We'll take a break here. Buy or sell is next. But first, today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. And thanks to Untuckit for sponsoring Locked On Heat. If you're looking for a great Father's Day gift idea, Untuckit shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring is required. Go to Untuckit.com and use the promo code NBA to get 20% off of your purchase. It's time for buy or sell. Let's start with the draft, David. The Heat have been doing their due diligence on USC guard Kevin Porter Jr. Are you buying the Heat's interest?
Absolutely. I think, look, they're going to do their due diligence on a number of players. I think that them being there at a scouting day and kind of looking at his progression, his abilities up close like that shows me that there's an interest. When we heard about them kind of having some interest in a player like Mario Hezonja a few years ago, Riley had sent some international scouts to kind of look at Hezonja. And then, you know, that was the year that they drafted Justice for the 10th pick overall. Obviously, Hezonja wasn't there at the 10th pick anyway, but again, that was they showed some interest, but not enough to actually be there in person. If they're there in person, my feeling is that they're looking at this player and wondering whether or not he has the potential to be a star on this team. Not as a trade chip or anything like that, but that he's going to be a part of this Heat organization for a while, if they see it. And they may walk away from there saying, you know what, he doesn't have it. I can't see how he's going to be a fit, etc. But I think that's the partly why you do attend these kinds of things, because you want to see it for yourself. Especially, you know, a former player like Riley, who wants to kind of get a feel for it. He understands these players innately, having been one himself. He can see the kind of, you know, explosive athleticism, and he wants to get a feel for it. And I really do buy into the fact that if he was there in person, it's because there's a high level of interest. What about you?
Look, I think that there are a number of things that we've been wrong about when it comes to the Miami Heat, but these are the sort of things that you and I are oftentimes right about, is who do the Heat really want? What kind of player are they looking for? Who would they be willing to take a chance on? We called it years ago with Dion Waiters. We've done a number of things since then. We kind of have a good sense of what the Heat are thinking, what the Heat are feeling, what kind of direction that they're going to go in. And you and I like Kevin Porter Jr. We did our scouting report on him, and we're going to do more Kevin Porter Jr. material next week too, but we like Kevin Porter Jr. And if we like Kevin Porter Jr., I would bet that the Heat like Kevin Porter Jr. And I think they're doing this for a reason. Now, we don't know that they're doing this with Romeo Langford or Coby White or any of these other guards that could be in the mix for Miami. Coby White's probably going to go ahead of one of Miami picks, but
yeah.
We know that they're doing this with Kevin Porter Jr. We like Kevin Porter Jr. for his fit. He spaces the floor. He's physical. He has star potential. Are there off-the-court issues? Yeah. But there are reasons that you take a risk on a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. He's going to be able to play. It's just whether or not he puts it together and just gets himself, you know, he's saying all the right things. He's doing all the right things. I love that the Heat are out there in person to meet with him, to talk with him, to talk with the people around him, and to get a better sense of who this guy is, because he could do it on the court. It's whether or not he can handle the NBA lifestyle off the court. And that's what they're probably getting their sense of. The Houston Rockets, meanwhile, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, they're putting everybody up for sale. Everybody's available. James Harden might be available. As Wojnarowski says, that he's slightly less available or something. Worded it weirdly. Like, James Harden's not getting traded. Chris Paul, Eric Gordon, Clint Capella. They've been aggressive with Capella and seeing what his price is. Are you buying or selling the idea that the Heat should get in on this?
Oh, I'm kind of selling that. Like, I don't... Looking at who they have on that roster, with the exception of maybe Eric Gordon and Capella himself, those are the only two players that actually have some value. Like, Harden's not going to be traded, right, as we pointed out. So, I mean, that would be the one player that you'd go all in for. And obviously, well, you know, I could see there being a connection to Miami and an interest to come to Miami, but I can't see Houston actually making that move. I mean, they'd be stuck with Chris Paul. I don't think Chris Paul is an object of Miami's attention either. So, but as far as Eric Gordon and Capella are concerned, yeah, I could see them kind of kicking the tires a little bit, trying to see what they might be worth. But they're also limited in some regards. Gordon's a little older. Capella is limited as far as impact. They already have one limited center on their roster. I'm not sure why you'd want to bring in a guy like Capella, to be honest with you.
So. Would you do if you're Miami? I've got two trades for you.
All right.
I just came up with these, and they might suck. I don't know. Tell me.
All right.
Clint Capella, with 4 years left on his contract, and Eric Gordon, who's an expiring contract, straight up for Hassan Whiteside. And so if you're the Rockets, you're getting cap relief, where you're getting off of two contracts, specifically the Capella contract. Whiteside's going to be an expiring deal. You can either flip him for something else or just live with Whiteside being sort of the anchor of your defense, I guess, for a season, and then open up a whole bunch of cap space later on. Or I'm not even sure if that's going to really open up a whole lot of cap space for Houston, but it'll definitely open up some flexibility. Or do you try to do this three-way deal where maybe instead of bringing Mike Conley back, you send Mike Conley to Houston, and then you bring Chris Paul to Miami?
Ooh, no.
Okay, we hate both of them.
No, I think the first one is more realistic from Miami's perspective if they were to make a trade for Conley, because then they kind of are going all in there.
Okay.
A roster of Conley, Capella, and whoever's left, you know, as far as the young core is concerned.
Eric Gordon.
And Eric Gordon, too, yeah. I mean, that's... I'm an expensive playoff contender, but at least they'll be looking to push for a fourth seed, maybe at best.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I'm not sure that that's worth it, to be honest with you. And again, you're likely to stunt the young player's development there a little bit. So it would be an interesting move. Like, I mean, do you have Capella and Bam on the roster at the same time?
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think either of them really work from Miami's perspective. But I'm sure that they'll start digging around. I don't know who else really is an option on that roster, but I don't think there are a lot of them.
Zaire Wade and LeBron Jr. will be playing together at Sierra Canyon High School in Los Angeles. How cool is that, David?
Not that cool.
What?
I mean, it's okay. Like, I'm not as excited about it. I saw some Heat fans. I mean, is that what we're doing now? Like, to be, I know I sound like old man yelling at clouds, but it's at the same time, it's like high school kids kind of transferring all over to play. It's high school. Like, I mean, how
Well, wait. Zaire Wade didn't transfer. The Wade's moved to L.A.
Okay, right. But the kid was a student at a Miami school. I don't know what.
No, it was American Heritage. American Heritage. Shout out, Patriots.
That's not even a real school, right? Is that the one that's like a basketball academy?
No, American. No. American Heritage is a school. American Heritage
is it really?
Yeah. I was a summer camp counselor there for years.
Well, yeah. Sorry, I didn't
know that basketball court
alma mater.
I've played on the same basketball court that Zaire Wade played at for several years, and probably not as good.
A good chance.
I love this.
Of course you would.
I'm so excited about this. I don't know why exactly. It's not like I'm ever gonna watch a Sierra Canyon High School basketball game. They're probably not gonna be on TV or anything, especially in Northern California. But I'm just really happy for this. Like, I'm going to be able to see moments on Instagram and stuff like that. Like, look, we didn't get enough years of LeBron and Wade playing together. I'm not counting that weird thing that happened in Cleveland. I'm all in on all LeBron and Dwayne Wade content. This is included in that. I love this. I can't wait for LeBron and Dwayne Wade to be the crazy fans, like the crazy dads in the stands at one of these high school games. We already know that LeBron is crazy dad at high school games. To have them both together is with Dwayne Wade, binge drinking Greek wine. It's going to be amazing. I'm so in on this. Okay, let's take another break here, and then we'll talk about tonight's NBA Finals. But first, today's show is brought to you by Grip 6. Looking for a great Father's Day gift? Well, Grip 6 belts are ultra lightweight with no holes and no flap, which equals no bulk. Go to grip6.com/lock for a special offer. And remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On Heat on the free Himalaya podcast app. It's the perfect place to listen to the podcasts that you love and discover new favorites to listen to. Check out their playlist and share and comment on your favorite shows and episodes. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Heat. Thank you to our sponsors, Hotel.com. Thanks to Untuck It, and thank you to Grip 6 Belts. Remember to listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. David, the NBA Finals finally start tonight. Better chance that the Raptors win or that the Warriors sweep?
Wow, that is a really tough one. To be honest with you, I think there's a better chance of a Warriors sweep. I know a lot of people are kind of shifting their opinion a little bit, looking at the Raptors roster and the fact that they were able to unseat the Bucks, which, maybe that wasn't as unpredictable as people imagined. I know I thought the Bucks would win that series, but given their lack of experience and the fact that Toronto is a very good team, maybe it's not necessarily something that shouldn't or couldn't have happened. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, like I just think that there's way too much experience there. And I know that Kawhi is the kind of player that can really hurt the Warriors. They've struggled to defend a player like that, but that gives them the opportunity to kind of key in on everybody else. And that's, that has been Toronto's method to success during the first couple of rounds in the playoffs. But that works when you're facing the Orlando Magic. That doesn't work necessarily when you're facing the Golden State Warriors. And I think there's just, even without Kevin Durant there for the first game or two, even with DeMarcus Cousins available for game one, my feeling is that the Warriors are just still too good. And I feel like we're kind of, a lot of people are hoping that the Raptors will challenge this Warriors team, because if not, it kind of makes them pause as to why they're even supporting the NBA or covering the league, because, it's a foregone conclusion, as it has been almost all season long. Look, I mean, everybody trumped up the Rockets as Warriors beaters, and they wound up faltering when it mattered, even without
Kevin Durant. I did that.
With major injury issues, yeah, so.
Yeah, I predicted the Rockets win. I think there's obviously a better chance that the Raptors win the series than the Warriors sweeping them. I mean, if Durant was playing, I would pick the Warriors in a sweep almost. But Durant is definitely missing game one. He traveled with the team. He could play game two, but I doubt it. I'm not even sure Durant is going to play at all in this series.
All right.
And so we don't know. Like, he hasn't even started on-court work. Like, when is he going?
Does that matter, though?
I don't know. Like, I don't know, but it's telling.
Okay.
Like, he's not even
doing
anything.
Golden State looked really, really good? I mean, without Kevin Durant?
Yeah, they have. But I still
think that's enough to beat Toronto in four straight games?
No, I don't think that they're good enough. I think Kawhi is the kind of guy that gives the Warriors problems. He is physical. He gets to his spots. He might be the best player on the floor. It's going to be him or Steph. And so that's not the case. It was not the case in Houston. It was not the case. It's certainly not the case against Portland when the Warriors just had their way with the Trailblazers. But yeah, I think that the Raptors have a real chance here. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just projecting. But I just don't see any way that the Warriors sweep, because I don't know when Durant comes back, but I definitely know. And I definitely know he's not playing game one. And I'll go out on a limb right now. I'll say the Raptors take game one.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, look, sure, why not? I mean, it's possible.
Prediction for tonight. For tonight.
I think Golden State kind of goes in there and punches them in the face and reminds Toronto that there's Toronto.
You think the Warriors win four games tonight? Four games in a row? Thursday night?
No, I think they win four games tonight somehow. They've been space and time and are somehow able... get into our Avengers Endgame takes here. I know that you wanted to get into it.
We'll save that for another pod. All right. Thanks for listening. Connect with us on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining me, Dave.
You got it, Wes.
Wrap it up, man.